Welcome to the Appliance Educator Podcast, presented by Z-Line Kitchen & Bath, attainable luxury designed in Lake Tahoe. Joining us on the cast today is Ken Allwine of the YouTube channel Busy Dad's Workshop. All right, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Appliance Educator Podcast, sponsored by Z-Line. Today, we are joined by Ken from Busy Dad's Workshop. Great to have you here, Ken. How are you doing?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is Drew. You've heard me on a few episodes before. And I'm also joined today by Nick, who you've actually seen on the Appliance Educator channel. He's one of the Appliance Educator himself. So
yeah, good to be here. We like to call ourselves the Appliance Brothers.
Excellent. I like that. doing projects. That's great. Well, Ken, we're really excited to have you here. I know in some different capacities in the past, both Appliance Educator and Z-Line have collaborated with your awesome channel and all the great content that you make. So really excited to have you here and just kind of pick another content creation mind oriented around the home and appliance and project space. So great to have you.
I'm happy to be here.
Excellent. Well, I think to dive right into it, you know, let us know kind of how you got started, both with just being a handy, busy dad and the content creation that led from that.
Yeah, so it's been kind of a long story, but, you know, growing up, I always had some type of tool in my hand, you know, whether it was remote control cars or car stereos. That was like the big thing when I was just starting driving, and I started actually doing stuff for other people. And so I've always been working on different things, whatever it was. But where it really started to kind of skyrocket is when my wife and I bought our first house. And I had a few tools, but that's when, you know, you buy a house, you're starting a family, you go, well, I'm going to do all these things to my house, but I don't have any money. So that's when the kind of the tool collection starts to grow, and then you start tackling our own projects, and things got bigger and bigger, and the projects got bigger and bigger. And then a friend of mine was telling me, hey, you should, you know, maybe you should like record this stuff. And I was like, nah, I don't want to do that, because then I'd have to be on video and I'd have to like talk to people and sound like I know what I'm talking about. But eventually, you know, I kind of figured to myself, you know, I'm doing these things. Why don't I share what I'm doing, share what I'm learning, and, you know, kind of see where it goes from there. So that was kind of the genesis of Busy Dad's Workshop. At first, I didn't take it too seriously. I just threw a couple things out there. But as I got into the comments and I had friends talking to me, asking, well, how do you do this? How do you do that? And I said, well, I could do a video on that. I could do a video on that. And it just kind of started to snowball from there. So now we have a cool, generally cool, I would say, YouTube channel going on. And it's continuing to grow. And then it's Instagram and Pinterest, you know, all those other outlets that are out there. So that's where I'm kind of at now.
Nice. And on the content creation side, did you ever have a background in creating video or anything like that?
No, I started real dirty. And it's not real clean right now either, I don't think. But, you know, it's all self-taught, trying to figure things out. You know, the podcast side of things is very new to me as well. I don't have my own podcast, but I've done a few of things like this before. But the YouTube thing, that has been the biggest challenge, I think, is, all right, well, how do you set these shots up? How do you try to build a story out of this? And then when you're done, you have to edit it all. So it's been a challenge.
Yeah. How long have you been on YouTube?
I think technically it's about 11 years.
Oh, great.
But it was one of those things where I put a couple of videos out that it just rode for 3 or 4 years before I put another one up. So I would say only in the last maybe 3 or 4 years I've been a little bit more consistent on creating the content.
What do you think kind of started the momentum for you to pick up YouTube, and when did you see the growth of that and the potential in it?
When I started posting a few specific videos, one I saw that the very first video I did was on how to install fluorescent lights in the ceiling. That one is close to like 250,000 views, and for a small channel like mine, that's huge. Mm-hmm. And then I started posting a couple car related videos, and then some, you know, just small DIY stuff around the house. And all of a sudden I saw this uptick in viewership, and slowly but surely the subscription started to grow as well. So I'm like, oh, this could be something here.
Are you one of these deep analytics guys where you're kind of trying to figure out, hey, did I crack into the algorithm at all? Or are you just kind of saying, I know what I know, I know what I love, and I kind of lead into it?
I'm more the latter than the former. I'm trying to understand the analytics more. I'm watching YouTube videos on how to understand all of the charts and the graphs and what does that stuff point to.
Okay, great. Just to kind of know, how did you kind of come to find Z-Line and Appliance Educator? You know, where did we kind of first connect?
This is when I started doing the deep dive into our latest house build. So we were looking for plans on a house that we wanted to be our final house. So this is our third home that we've lived in. We found a piece of property and we found a builder and we're like, started thinking all through the different options there are. There's so many different options that are out there. You know, you start doing the dream building of, oh, this looks nice, that looks nice, that looks nice. Then you start looking at how to actually get things, what things actually cost. You know, it's like when you're sitting down to the dinner table, you have this giant plate of food and your eyes are bigger than your stomach is, right? Well, same thing with your wallet, right? Well, so we had a plan picked out and we thought, well, we really want a 48-inch range because we do a lot of cooking, because we do a lot of gardening as well. So a lot of fresh foods that we cook with. We started hunting. So we narrowed it down first, 48-inch range. So what's out there that we can get to? So we all saw all the different manufacturers. And all of a sudden, this company Z-Line keeps popping up in my search results when I'm looking for range hoods, dishwashers, and microwaves. That like, it starts populating. And then I start seeing, I think I saw something about Z-Line hoods being on Food Network or something like that. I forget what it was. But then I started going, hey, they're showing up a lot. I should start doing a little bit of a deep dive on that. And that's when I started looking at the background of the company and where they're located and all that stuff. I'm like, that's pretty cool. I think I'll give that a go and see what they have and what options there are and see if it will fit what we're looking for. And it turned out pretty darn good.
Yeah, you can see your whole kitchen suite in one of your videos and you guys did a killer job.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. At this point too, I say as a content creators ourselves, looking at your website and your YouTube channel and everything, I mean, how did that come about? Because your brand seems really well built. I mean, if your content looks clean and like you got a great brand. What was kind of the story of like, I guess going from a guy who's a busy dad with some tools and making some YouTube videos on a friend's recommendation to kind of building out a brand?
Yeah, well, the brand thing came probably by accident. You know, I was just throwing stuff out there to see what would stick. And my wife's like, oh, you should try Instagram a few years ago, that is. And I was like, all right, I'll start posting some pictures here and there. And I found out that, you know, the more focused you are, the more niche you end up becoming, the better your audience reacts, or the larger your tribe grows. And being on brand really helped me grow my brand. And that's when, you know, I started looking for somebody create an actual logo for me and actually come up with a decent name that I could actually bring all this stuff under one umbrella so there was consistent messaging that was going out there.
That's great. How would you describe your tribe or the niche that Busy Dad became as a brand?
It's interesting that the tribe's pretty widespread. Because of what my content is based around, when you look at my website or you look at my YouTube channel, I've got some silos. There's workshop stuff, there's how to build stuff or DIY stuff, projects around the house, and there's even some gardening on there and automotive. So, but it's all based around what can you do yourself. So the people that view my content are those that are looking for how to do something, or they're looking for a review on a product or maybe a tool that they want to add to their arsenal. But that's not like super expensive. You know, what can the everyday person do themselves that's not overly complicated, where you have to be an expert on all things contractor basic? So I try to make it as simple as possible, but also digestible and usable.
And on that, what are some of your favorite DIY projects that you've either put out on your channels or haven't put out yet?
Well, the favorite is really the latest house build. You know, this has been a massive undertaking for us over the last year and a half, almost 2 years now. There's a lot of content to come out to cover all of the different projects we went through. But I would say a couple of my favorites are one, the kitchen build, because that was like our dream kitchen. And the fact that I did a lot of the installation myself. And one of the videos that's coming hopefully soon here, once I get to sit down and do the editing, is we did low voltage LED lighting under our cabinets, but not just the top cabinets, but at the toe kick as well. So like when you're walking out at night, you get this really neat underglow from under the bottom of the cabinets. So that's probably one of my favorite ones for the house. And then of course my garage stuff and my workshop stuff.
Mm. It's crazy how easy it is to install these LED low wattage like strips, and how much they can add to the environment of a room.
Yeah, if people see the pictures and stuff like that, they're like, oh, I can never do that. But it all takes is a little bit of planning and understanding a little bit about electrical. You don't have to do a whole lot with the LED stuff, just because a lot of it's plug and play. And if you have an outlet close by and you're half decent with a drill and two-way tape, you can do an LED project.
Yeah, I have a LED strip behind my TV in my bedroom that's connected to a motion sensor. So I don't even have to flip on a light when I walk into my bedroom. It just kind of, if I need extra light, I can turn on extra light, but that usually gets me in and out of my room just on that motion sensor LED behind the TV.
And that's what I was going to ask too.
Yeah.
Hardwired to your electrical, so it's operated on a switch in the kitchen now?
Yeah, I do. And so not only is it a hardwired switch, but we use the Lutron cassette system. So I have an app on my phone, so when I'm sitting on the couch, I can turn that up or down, or turn the pendant lights over our island. We can turn those on and off. And so we can do some fine adjustment that way. So it also becomes some, you know, mood lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Adds a lot of ambiance. And one thing I've noticed too with LEDs, we've seen in homes that have built, you know, over the previous decades, when they have kind of the traditional slider light, those don't always last forever. That
no.
Over time just usually burns out and you just end up going to a bulb, you know, and just kind of leaving that behind. So the LED seems like a great alternative to that.
Yeah, our entire house is LED, and we went from a house that was actually larger square footage but had a mixture of LEDs and fluorescents and incandescents to a slightly smaller house, probably like 200 square feet smaller. And just from the lighting change, we've seen our electric bill drop. So it is definitely more efficient to do LEDs. And then when you go to lighting strips and things like that, you don't even have to use, you know, high power 60 watt, 30 watt equivalent LED bulbs. The LED strips, like I have one built into this light right here. Now that's task lighting for me, and it uses what, 20 watts of power, if that. And yeah. It's even on a dimmer.
That's great.
Yeah, you could almost run all of your lighting system on solar if you're running strictly LED.
Oh, absolutely.
To kind of pivot and actually stay in this kind of like energy effective area too, and kind of talking about the greenness side of things, we've seen some of the best videos we were looking at recently were some of your garden build content. And you kind of mentioned you're a big gardener and like cooking with fresh ingredients. Talk to us kind of about that and your approach and how you incorporated the garden into the new dream home and everything.
Yeah, my wife has always been the gardener of the family, and she's kind of, because of this giant project, I've been pulled into it as well. So it's now become another arm of what I do. My wife always makes fun of me that she says I can find a hobby in anything. So that's one of my character flaws, I guess you could say. But with the garden, you know, at our old house, we had a raised bed garden that was basically connected to the side of our house. And we could only produce so much in that. And we're trying to, you know, live healthier lives, more sustainable lives. And when we moved to the new house, you know, we now have 2 acres of land. So we have this flat spot behind our house. We go, well, that's perfect for a garden. And, you know, I was being one of those good husbands where I'm like, well, it's only fair if my wife gets a garden, because I have this massive garage. I have all these tools. Why don't I do something really nice for her? So that's when we started going down this path of, I did another one of my rabbit hole Google search deep dives, and I was looking at different options for raised beds, because there's so many different things that are out there. There's plastic ones, there's galvanized ones, wood ones. There's so many different options. I wanted something that would last. So like with wood, no matter what wood you use, eventually it will rot. I wanted something that once I put this in here, I never have to touch it again. So that my two options at that point were concrete or plastic. So the concrete ones, eventually, one thing they say about, there's two things they say about concrete. It's going to crack and no one's going to steal it. So I didn't want to have something I was going to have to repair. So I went with this product that I found from Best Plumbing, which their factory is only located about 3 hours from my house. So I actually drove out to the factory to pick up the materials. And it's recycled thermoplastics. So plastic jugs, plastic bottles, those type of things. And I think I have, I calculated it out, it's over 50,000 bottles and plastic materials, post-consumer plastics, that are in these things. Like, well, that's perfect. I get a nice dark color that I want. And I get a dimensionally stable product, and I'm never going to have to touch it again. It's not going to rot. It's been in now for, it's been last November, so about 6-7 months now, and it hasn't budged. It hasn't moved. The coloring hasn't leached at all. It hasn't bleached. It hasn't warped, moved, or anything. So the only thing that's holding it together too then are FacetMaster ledger lock screws, and they're powder coated steel, so they're in there and it's solid.
In your research of finding all these kind of products, is it kind of like easy to find through state to state, or is there only a handful of these manufacturers that you've found?
Right now, for this type of thing, I've only found some of it is regional, and there are a few nationals, like the Best Plus. They're national, but who carries them is kind of limited. It's like Menards, some Home Depots in the Midwest. There's some other companies that carry them, but I went to them direct.
Yeah, because I'm a bit of a gardener myself, and with like wooden beds, one of the things is the gardening season really starts with you repairing all your beds and clearing everything out just with, you know, through the winter and then the spring, everything just kind of moves and shakes and breaks, and you kind of rebuild the garden every year. So a great alternative because it's just going to stay in place.
Yeah, and the plastic timber, so if your ground heaves a little bit, it's just going to flex a little bit with it, which is nice.
And staying on the garden topic, what'd you produce recently on the garden?
From my content perspective, I think the last thing was adding electrical to our garden. People are like, well, why would you want to put electric in your garden? Very good reason for that is, one, so we have an extension cord out there for anytime we have to use power tools as far as cleaning things out, or, you know, maybe it's plugged in for, say, floodlights or something like that. But really, for my wife, she wanted to have a water feature. So that's going to be another project I'm doing coming up, is we're taking an old, one of those hand pump fountains that you put on top of a well head and turning it into a water feature.
Very nice. We just put in a solar water feature into our backyard. It's pretty cool, except for when the wind blows a little bit, we have it on the south facing fence, and we have some, the neighbor has some trees. So even if the wind blows, it casts a shadow a little bit, and then our water feature will just go down, and then it will right back up as the wind blows the other way. It's really funny.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why we wanted to do an AC powered system.
Just keep it consistent.
Yep.
Hey guys, Drew from the Appliance Educator Podcast here, and I just wanted to take a minute out to talk about our amazing sponsor, Z-Line Kitchen and Bath. You've heard the guests and the hosts talk about this amazing brand and all the attainable luxury that they create right here in the heart of Lake Tahoe, USA. From freestanding ranges to ventilation, dishwasher, and microwave, to everything you'll need to complete your next bathroom project, Z-Line Kitchen and Bath is bringing luxury into your next project. That's awesome. What's your favorite thing to grow in the garden?
That's a tough one to answer because we have so much growing right now. Right now we're harvesting beets. The tomatoes are coming in. Potatoes are starting to get ready to harvest. Kale we're harvesting. Spinach we're harvesting. Snap peas. The peppers and eggplants are coming in nice. So there's everything that we have in the garden is kind of all a little bit of our favorite foods that you would grow. So other than having like a cow and chickens walking around the backyard, we have everything growing that we need.
You're on your way. Is that the next phase with the rest of the property there? Is the
place? Actually, we went through the chicken phase already. in our neighborhood, we had one of those little chicken coops you can get as a coop online, and our backyard was only 16 feet deep, so it was 6 feet the chicken coop and then another 6 feet. But we found out that we had two roosters by accident, and so that was kind of a bit of a problem in our neighborhood. So we went through that, we got rid of those chickens, and then we had the rest of them. But then we found out there's a lot of upkeep, actually. And in the winter, when you have to dredge out there to clean out the coop in the winter,
yeah,
it's not so much fun. So unless you're really into the chickens and having fresh eggs every day, it can be a bit of a challenge to keep up with.
Yeah, I've had several friends who got into the like urban farming trend, and they're like, hey, let's all get chickens in the summer. And then I think, you know, several of them kind of got over it fairly quickly. And some of them were just like, I'm just turning this into a really high maintenance pet at this point.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Well, let's go from the garden into the garage. You mentioned a couple of times the garage was kind of your space, and a busy dad, that really fits the brand. We know you kind of mentioned too, you're a big Porsche guy. Our friend, you're also big fans of Porsche. Talk to us about the garage space and what you got going.
So since we were building a house, you know, it's kind of carte blanche on what you want to do from a design perspective. And I've always had, you know, a level of a clean garage, at least, and organized, but I never could fit our cars in it. You know, there's either a project in there or there's stuff in there for storage. But it was relatively clean. I mean, you know, epoxy floor and all that. Right. But when we moved into the new house and we were designing a new one, I'm like, all right, I want to be able to put my F-150 in there, the Porsche, and my wife's car. You know, I want, and not have to trip over everything to get in and out of the cars. So my wife gave me the go-ahead, and I designed what turned into a 40 by 40 garage. So it's 3 bays wide, and then the last 15 feet I've walled off for my actual workshop.
Okay, so you're doing projects in the garage too, even though you got all the cars in there and everything.
Yeah.
That is a setup that you got there.
Yeah,
thanks.
It's not too shabby. That's
yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. I'm still going through trying to figure out all the organization, where the tools go. So moving from one house to another house, you know, you're used to where you have everything, and then you get to the new place, you're like, well, where should I put this? Where should I put that?
A little trial and error.
Yeah.
It is.
Who just moved, I'm in that phase of, my stuff's all here now. I need to figure out where it's going to go.
Yeah. You know, well, I thought I'd just put that screwdriver there, but it's over there now. So it's a challenge.
Absolutely. You know, just to kind of appeal to our audiences too, like in planning out a garage as like a workspace and even building one, what did you consider in like designing that space?
It came down to, what do you do in the space? Are you a woodworker? Are you a welder? Are you just a garage guy that you want to have a nice clean garage so you can wash your cars, do polishing, or just work on your cars? So my organization came down to, what do I do the most of, and kind of have areas for that. So like my main workshop is where I keep all of my tools for woodworking and metalwork and all that. So that's all walled off from the garage. Because, you know, when you're doing those type of projects, they can be messy. Like if you're spraying paint or you're grinding metal, you know, that stuff's gonna fly. But whereas keeping the cars, I want to keep that cleaner. I don't want shards of metal or sawdust laying on top of everything.
So you definitely keep the Porsche on the other side of the garage.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know, especially coming out of the pandemic and everything, and things are kind of getting back to normal, but one thing I think everyone's experienced is product and production. You know, companies are having a hard time to have stuff on market. We seem to have collectively as a society bought everything in 2020, you know.
Feels like it.
Yeah. And, you know, talking about, like, you're clearly a guy who does his homework. You're going to deep dive into whatever the next purchase is at a planning state, find the company, find exactly what you're looking for, reach out to them. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing right now as some of the challenges and in your experience in just like sourcing materials and tools and things for your next projects? Because it sounds like you've always got several different things coming up next. What are you kind of seeing out there right now?
Well, for me, it's we're almost into a waiting game for some of our projects. It's because, I mean, as everybody has seen, the price of materials have just gone absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to price materials through our deck build. And just trying to get the framing for the decking is three and a half times what I would normally pay. So that's a big challenge for me. And because I still want to use pressure treated wood for it, that it's just kind of, I'm going to wait for prices to come down. Hopefully things will start leveling off, which it sounds like it might going into the next 6-12 months. We might see some relaxation there, but it does force you for some projects to look for other alternative solutions. Like in the basement here, where I've been about half finished out so far. Mm-hmm. On the other side, I might switch from metal or from wood studs to metal studs because the cost differential now is no longer an issue. It, right now, I think if last time I checked, it's either equal to or a metal stud is actually cheaper than a wood stud.
So wow, did you ever think you'd see that day?
What's that?
Did you ever think you'd see that day come?
No, absolutely not.
What are some advantages of this then, if the metal stud is equal or less priced than this wood stud? I mean, is that supply extra strength or is there any other benefits to that?
Well, I'm not an expert in material dynamics, but you can produce with more consistency, I would think, on a metal stud because you're not dealing with knots or age of trees or warpage. You won't have any warpage with it because it's a produced product, not a grown product. Mm-hmm. And that opens the door, for a lot of alternative products for other applications than just framing. And, other things that are out there. You can get steel I-beams and things or projectiles if you want to. I haven't priced that out, but that's an option that's out there. I think you're going to see more composites being used, not just from decking, but also fiberglass products, carbon fiber. The prices on some of those things are relatively reasonable. What will be interesting to see is with this price effect, how the cost per barrel of oil, because carbon fiber is made from a petroleum-based resin. So how all that plays out, we'll be interested to see how that goes for the next year or two.
On staying on this note of other new products or recycled products, have you seen anything really interesting that you can't wait to use that you haven't used yet?
It's not something I get to use, but I think it's something that's fantastic for the world is 3D printed houses.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So 3D printed concrete. I think that's a fantastic technology. And you're going to be able to deploy housing faster, I think, if they can scale this properly. I think it's a fantastic option because I looked at a couple of videos on YouTube on how they were building these. From the inside, you cannot tell that it is a 3D printed house. And if you put furring strips up inside it, you'd never tell from the outside. So I think that's an awesome option that may be coming online here, I think, in a large scale pretty soon.
There's this company out of North Carolina, and I've been working with them on event production stuff, and they own a company that's 3D printing hotel rooms. So it comes out as like a Lego block, and you can stack them on top of each other or however way you want to create it. And you can build a whole hotel with these pieces of rooms that you stack on top of each other. It's really crazy. It's a fantastic technology that's coming out.
It is. It's really cool.
Yeah.
The one that I think of now is it's called hemp wood. It's actually made out of industrial hemp with plant-based resins. So it's an alternative for plywood, for flooring, for all kinds of things. So that is one that I would like to try, get my hands on. I heard it's just as hard as oak, so you can build furniture out of it. So I think that would be fun to build with.
And hemp grows like a weed and pretty much anywhere. So what's a sustainable object?
Yeah, from what I saw, industrial hemp, it's 6-8 feet tall. It's a massive plant and grows crazy.
You could probably grow it in a warehouse.
Yeah, it's probably one of those available materials now too that we're looking into alternatives based on what's out there on the market. I think the 3D aspect's really interesting too, because I think when it comes to looking at home build, you're kind of either, are we looking at a model or are we going to fully customize it? But 3D has application in both of those spaces, whether you're doing something really modular and kind of the suburban track home style where they've got a couple floor plans, or just saying I want to sit down with a pen and a paper and basically draw up my ideal floor plan, and 3D kind of enables that for everyone.
Yeah, I think since you're talking about an XY axis, you know, and any point in between those two axes, that you can do freeform stuff. And they don't have to be straight walls. They could be a S-curved wall if you wanted to. There's nothing that really is stopping you now from the design.
Yeah, because it's just the wire framing that you're maneuvering. You don't have to stick to, you know, the straight 2x4s.
Yeah. It's all open.
Exactly.
That sounds really exciting for the DIY crowd who are just like, yeah, I want to do my thing my way.
Yeah, we're going to see eventually one day you buy a cement 3D printer for yourself and build your own sheds in your backyards or build your own garden beds pretty soon, I'm imagining.
Yeah.
I would not totally put it off that you'd be able to rent a giant 3D concrete printer at some point in the future.
That's how I was envisioning too, is you lease it from your local construction group and
Home Depot probably even.
For a week and then you lay out. Yeah. Oh, well, that's awesome. Going back to Busy Dad's workshop, like what's coming up next? What are you excited about in this next year that you're going to be bringing to the audience? Is there anything you can kind of tease out for us or anything the audience should look forward to?
Well, it really all comes down to material cost right now, but I'm hoping to do, I've saved the far end of the basement to do a full-on home theater build. You know, tiered seating, 150-inch screen at Dolby Atmos. My wife and I are movie buffs, so I thought I was going to be able to do it this year, but I just ran out of time with everything that was going on. So that's like the big project for the house. And then there's all kinds of other projects outside, maybe more car stuff. But it's always something. And depending on what's happening with the house or what's happening with the garden, that kind of dictates which way my content goes.
Very cool.
So I'm interested to see what the year brings.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that organic approach of just kind of it's like living content in the sense of this is what and next let's capture it.
We can call it organic content.
Yes. Very organic. Well, that's awesome, Ken. I mean, is there anything else that you're just kind of excited about or would like to spend some time discussing here on the platform?
Everything that I've been interested in, I think we've covered so far, you know, the car stuff, the house stuff, the garden stuff. The problem is if we start talking about any other products, I might end up doing a deep dive into it and getting myself in trouble. That might become the next new thing.
So how about this? Let's end on when you're not being a busy dad in his workshop, what are you doing?
I'm being a busy dad hanging out with my family.
Oh, damn. Good answer.
That's, dad should, right?
Yeah. Whether it's so, big thing tonight is my oldest daughter. It's tonight we're going to be watching Loki.
Oh, man. I tried to watch that last night, but it was like 10:30. I'm in a bed. My girlfriend just got this new weighted blanket. I can't last more than 5 minutes before I'm asleep with that thing. It's amazing.
Those things are great.
Oh, God. I there's no chance of me staying up with that.
I know. Yeah. Like, not to date the cast, but yeah, I came in today and I've had multiple people like, hey, did you watch it yet? Did you watch it? I'm like, I haven't got a chance yet, guys. So
hopefully we'll get that one in tonight.
Awesome.
All right. Yeah. No spoilers here.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's good.
Well, Ken, we really appreciate your time today. And again, we love the channel and the content. We recommend for the full appliance educator audience to go check out Busy Dad's workshop. Some great things going on there, both on YouTube and to check out the site.
Yeah, just give us the handles for all that real quick before we go.
You can find everything at Busy Dad's workshop, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, of course. It's the website is www.busydadsworkshop.com. There's no apostrophe or anything, but that's kind of the home base, and I'm trying to rebuild that whole thing. But that's where you can find me pretty much anywhere.
Awesome, Ken. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Ken, so much. And all you busy dads and busy moms out there, be sure to check out his content and have a great day from Appliance Educator Podcast.
This has been the Appliance Educator Podcast, brought to you by Z-Line Kitchen and Bath. Be sure to like, subscribe, and follow at Appliance Educator for more tips and tricks and advice to keep your home running at optimal performance. If you have any ideas or topics you'd like to hear on future episodes of the show, leave us a comment. Appliance Educator, signing off.